Well, now, he wasn't telling exactly the straight of that. I do have a cell phone, but it's dead. It didn't. I'd go out to Walmart and buy that straight talk. I can get it for $30. And you don't have no contract or anything, but it's just good for 30 days. And so I'd let it run out. And I guess if you try to call me, you wouldn't get it. My wife said before I left this morning, you ought to reactivate that thing. You're going off this way and leaving me here all alone. Not so much worried about leaving her alone as me traveling alone. You get these old automobiles, you don't know whether you're getting back home or not when you leave. Old car of mine the other morning, I had a doctor's appointment at 8:15 and I was going down the road and all of a sudden it just quit. I rolled over and got stopped best I could. Of course, these things now, you know, when they quit, you don't have brakes, you don't have power steering. I mean, you know, you just hope it quits on a straight road. And I rolled over and it cranked back up, done that about a half a dozen times. I said, now, Lord, I've always preached you can do anything. I believe you can be a mechanic as good as you can a doctor. And how about hipping this thing? And it hadn't cut off no more. I just believe God can do. We'll believe him. Somebody said, my faith is weak. I'm not driving it this morning. I'm driving the other. Well, I got to get it checked out. It's good to be here. Get my age, it's good to be anywhere. Amen. I'm glad they got these handrails. They had old preachers in mind when they designed this, didn't they? They help us up here on this. And good to be old. If it wasn't old, I'd be dead. Man, I reckon the Lord willing, this fall I'll be preaching 50 years. And I've enjoyed it. Journey's been rough and long sometimes. But through it all, he that called me has never forsaken me. He's been there all the way. And I appreciate the journey. It's not always been what I expected it to be. Telling Brother Larry back there about some things that I'd got into lately. Brother Milby asked me one time, said, how are you getting these messes? Well, Brother Milby, I got some more to tell you about. I won't take time right now, but Lord have mercy. Somebody said to me, said, you think you've been a success? I said, well, it's all how you look at it. Yeah. If I had to figure out why the Lord called me, now, if he called me to make people mad and tear up playhouses, get people on the wrong side of me, I'd say I've been a success. But if you look on the blessing side of it, you might question it a little bit. I don't have too many people bragging on me. And that's all right. You know, I've never understood some philosophies, I guess. A lot of people, or some that I know, I better not say a lot. I get the impression they thought when the Lord called them that involved prosperity, riches, and fame, full calendar, you know, that's... But as I recall, when the Lord called me to preach, he didn't promised me one thing. He didn't put no conditions on me. He just called me to preach. And my wife and myself have been married for soon be 53 years. And we've done well. We started out with nothing. We've managed to hang on to it. We'll get that directly. been a good trip. If you have your Bible with you this morning, my brother Jenkins didn't tell me how long I had, so I take that I've got as long as I need. But no, I'll try to be brief. The book of Genesis, chapter number 8. Book of Genesis, chapter number 8. This is a book that the world hates.
Yes, sir.
They actually hate all the Bible. But the book of Genesis, I think, ranks right up there at the top of worldly hatred for the Word of God. See, it tears up a whole lot of things. But it establishes God in His rightful place, in His rightful power. And I just choose to believe it like it's wrote. Somebody said, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Well, that sounds good, but that's really not the correct way. God said it, and that settles it, whether we believe it or not. I get myself tangled up sometimes and hemmed up in corners like some of the brethren's got themselves into in the last few days of preaching what the Lord laid on their heart. If I have a pet that I love to destroy or attack, it's this evolutionary crowd. The Big Bang outfit. You know, it's just a big accident and things come to be as they are. And I was preaching in a First Baptist church. Don't tell nobody that. A few months ago, and got pretty rough on that subject. The Lord just brought it through. And the pastor said, after we got done, said, if you'll go with us to the back of the church, shake hands with the people as they leave, said, we'll do that. And I said, well, okay. Do you know the most dangerous place to be in a Baptist church? When the dismissing has been given, you're standing back there at the back. You'll get trampled if you ain't careful. But this guy come up to me, and I knew him, knew his dad. His dad's dead now. But he took me by the hand, and he said this to me, well, preacher, you know it could have been that way. The Big Bang. Well, I say, God could have done it that way. I'm going to use the word could. But if He had done it that way, He would have told us. He done it that way. Jesus said, in My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He don't have to rely on us preachers or anybody else. He's very capable to make things known. Stand with me just for a moment, if you will, in reference to the Word of God, and we'll get into the message. Chapter 8 of the book of Genesis in verse 1 said, and God remembered Noah, and every living thing, and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters were afraid, or lowered, or abated. The fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. Father, I ask You to help us this morning. Touch us, Lord, with Your power. Lord, we're only a man, and in our manly ability we possess no power. But Lord, you're God and you can do all things. And Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. We do look unto thee for strength this morning in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I want you to look with me for a few minutes at two or three words that's found here in this great passage of Scripture. I like the statement made in verse 1, the first three words, and God remembered. And God remembered. That is not to suggest that God is a forgetful person. I do not believe that any time in these days that Noah and the cargo on board was ever out of the mind of God. According to what I can read in the Scriptures, God never forgets but one thing. He does forget our sin when He has forgiven us of our sins. That's a blessing, is it not? I mean, I'm bombarded just like every other person is along the journey with that old fella called Satan. And he enjoys digging into our past and wants to bring up in our remembrance all things that we had done that's been sinful and wrong against God before we got saved and even after we got saved. But I argue with him on that point a lot of times. I say, look, feller, I talk to two personalities. And two personalities talk to me. I'm glad the Holy Ghost can talk to me and I can talk to him. But I'm not glad Satan can talk to me, and he does talk. But I'm glad I don't have any argument with the Holy Ghost. But I do have an argument with Satan. And I say, Satan, listen. If my God, my Savior, my Lord, does not think enough of those things to remember them, why should I allow those things to keep me down? Amen? Forgiven. I hear this statement made a lot of times to individuals, and they say you ought to forgive and forget. Now that's what God does. And that is an attribute of God. But you might as well agree with me this morning, me and you are not God. And we are totally different from God. I could take up my time this morning standing here telling you of things that people have done to me that I, on the grounds of natural standpoint, and could have took drastic measures against those people. But God has helped me through the years. My constant prayer is, God, give me a loving spirit, a loving heart, and a forgiving spirit. And I have forgiven those men and those people that have done those things. But if some of them opened that door right now and walked in and sat down, that fellow that I've done mention one time, and I don't want to mention him second time, would say, don't you remember what those have done? But there again, I can say, I do remember, but I have forgiven them. Now this thing of forgiveness is a two-way track. I mean, far as my part is concerned, I have forgiven them. I remember going off in a meeting some years ago. I was pastoring a church on up the hill up here in Avery County. And I come back from the meeting, found out a young preacher in the church had run all over the country The community, you know, running me down, picking me apart, and this, that, and the other. But God got a hold of him. And the first Sunday back from the meeting, he got up and he said, I've got to make an acknowledgement. He said, I've done the pastor wrong. And I've run him down. And he said, I want to ask him to forgive me. And I stood up and said to him, brother, I'd forgive you while you were doing it. Amen. Wouldn't that be a pretty thing, try to get up and preach and have bitterness in my heart, unforgiving spirit working on the inside of me? Even though in my remembrance, I call these things to be. Oh, but I'm glad we got a God that never forgets except our sins. I mean, you may be going through deep water. You may be treading high ground. But I want to say to you this morning, there's a God sitting high that's looking low, and He's remembering everything there is to remember about us. Amen. I mean, it's good to meet again and see faces today I haven't saw in a long time. And as times went along, sometimes we don't remember one another like we ought to. We come and go with our thinking of them. But I'm glad God is a God that does remember. Amen. It's not that He is setting up yonder in the heavens while that seagoing vessel, the first one has ever made, was floating on that water. And He had forgot about him for a time. No, according to the psalmist, we're continually in His thoughts. In fact, I think he mentioned we're engraven in the palms of His hand. Amen. I'm glad that we have a God that never forgets about us. He remembered Noah and every living thing, and all the cattle that was with him. All these things on the ark. I'm trying to get somewhere. We'll get there in just a second. And I remember, Brother Miller, you're remembering when I called his name. An old brother that we knew some years ago by the name of Alton Cole. Song leader, Sunday school teacher for about 40-something years. And he was met one of these agnostics was arguing with him about this situation here. And he said, now, Brother Cole, he said, don't you know it'd be impossible for a man to build a vessel like that, that it has two of every creature upon the earth, and by sevens of the clean, of doves and cattle and things that is clean. By the way, this for the sacrifice after the flood was over. Brother Cole said, I just let him talk. And when he got on, he said, I said to him, well, you make a good argument, but you left out one element. He said, what's that? Said God. He said God could have put them every one in a penny matchbox if He'd have wanted to. God can do anything He wants to, anytime He wants to, with anything He wants to or anyone He wants to, without asking anything or anyone their permission or favor to do it. I mean, He's God, and there is none like Him. I remember some years ago, preaching on this thought I found over in the Word of God, where the psalmist said, among the gods, there is no God like our God. Amen. I'm glad that He has the ability to do. Now notice with me two or three things, and I'll be done. He said He remembered Noah and every living thing. And God made
a whim. You go back in the creation of things, catalog them. All that God made in the beginning, nothing is said about a whim. And but I believe He made everything that is made. I do too. And the Scripture said He did. And it said without Him was not anything made that was made. And I got a hold of a verse the other day. It says something like this. By Him and through Him and for Him was everything made that is made. Don't you hem me up. Ask me why God made some things. I ain't figured out why He made a chigger yet. I don't know why He made a mosquito. Lord have mercy, these things, but I do believe He made them. And that they are made for Him. That is, He can use them anytime He wants to. Some years ago, a preacher friend of mine was telling me about an incident that took place in Gaffney, South Carolina. He said this old man there tried to be an infidel. And then it comes storms, he'd go out and cuss the elements and dare the lightning to strike him. And to carry on something terrible and say, see, there's nothing to God or anything. One night in the cotton mill where he was working, a little old bug, no bigger than a gnat, bit him on the back of the hand. And he took infection in that hand. And they could do nothing with it. And he died from that infection. But before he died, he made this statement. I cursed God. I dared Him to strike me with lightning. And those big things, and He's took a little thing no bigger than a gnat. And He's killed me. Far as I know, died without God. God made everything for His use. He can do with it what He wants to. I'm glad that He possesses the ability to control all things. Now, like this statement, and God made a wind. I've already pointed out He remembered Noah. You know where Noah was? He is in that ark, riding safely. By the way, I've heard preachers talk about it in this one, in the sense of the storm. The Bible doesn't say it's a storm. It just said it rained. Well, there's such things as a rainstorm, they say. Okay, we'll go that far. But on the other hand, as you think about it, with a rain of that magnitude and the waters, the depth that they were, coming up the valleys, and the Bible said the mountains were covered. You mountain people know it a lot better than us flatlanders. When it comes to rain, those valleys have torrents of water coming off of those mountains. Now, reason it had you to know that the waters were turbulent. But so far as I know, that old vessel was riding smoothly. Had it not been, it would have slaughtered those on board. The whirling, the abnormality of the waters outside would have twisted and threw
that ship in all directions. All on board. Even though they were on board, would have probably perished. But God. Oh, I'm trying my best not to get in another message. Jabba, think about it like this. Things that was on the ark that wasn't on the ark. And the Bible doesn't mention any him. Ham or somewhere between a ham and a him. You know what I'm trying to say. No guiding mechanism. When God gave Noah the dimensions of it, He didn't mention anything about a stirring apparatus. Yet the Bible said it went upon the water. It was guided. It is destined for that mountain. And do you want me to tell you really how fanatical I am about the power of God? I believe when God made the mountains, He scooped out a right place for that old ark to harbor in. Nothing is said about a power source on that vessel, but it was powered. It went. Amen. Oh, let me get back here. But God remembered old Noah down there on that face of that water, and He made a wind. Now I can really get fascinated reading the creation story. See the ability of our Creator and how that He made things that He made. In the very outset of His making these things, He really didn't have much to work with. He just spoke and said, "Let there be," and it was there. I got a good doctor, I trust him. I don't like the way he talks to me sometimes, yet it's my fault because I told him to shoot straight with me, and he does. I was in his office the other morning, and I was telling you about when the car was quitting on me. He's always trying, you know, to cut at me a little bit and undermine me being a preacher. So he said, what come first, the chicken or the egg? I said, "Well, as far as I'm concerned, the chicken. Who ever heard of an egg laying a chicken?" He said, "Well, I never thought of that," and walked out. "As far as I'm concerned, God made a chicken. Chicken laid the egg. And we have chickens today because of that God set in motion." I like to read where God, when He made and brought into existence this world of ours, and then He formed man. He created man out of the dust of the ground. Like those men were singing last night, "We're just a speck of dirt." Had something to work with. But when God remembered Noah and was coming to the rescue of him, you know what He done? He made a wind. What did He make it out of? You can't see it. You know it's there. You hear the sound of it. But it sure is invisible. I mean, yeah, these people on the news, they'll show these tornadoes. They're not showing the tornado. They're showing the effects of it. They're showing objects that's picked up by that wind. Have you ever heard one news commentator say, "Look, right here's the wind"? Now let's say here is a formation that's beginning to turn. I mean, God made a wind. He needed something to dry up the earth. And that something that He needed to dry up the earth was invisible to mankind. He made a wind. I read the other day in the scripture where it said, He calleth the wind out of His treasure. Did you know that God's got some trinkets?
Yeah.
He's got some toys.
Yes, sir.
In His treasure chest.
Amen.
That He calls up every once in a while just to show us He is God.
Amen.
I heard a good Baptist saying the other day, the Lord is trying to tell us something.
No.
That word try is not in the vocabulary of God. God does not try.
Amen.
He just does. We try. Like I'm trying to preach. But God has got preachers that preach for Him. One's called the wind.
Amen.
Has a voice. Thou hearest the sound thereof. God made a wind. He don't have to have much to work with. He didn't get much when He got me. I venture to say He didn't get much when He got you. But oh, what God can do with that He does you to work with. This wind through the Bible is a marvelous thing. God made a wind. I hear Him later when the children of Israel come up to that Red Sea. It don't look good behind them. It don't look promising in front of them. I hear the man of God say to them, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And that word salvation there is an all-exclusive word. Which means deliverance. Just stand still and wait. There is a deliverer. And He's on the job. Things are rough spiritually in our day. But there's a deliverer standing by. And the Bible said God calls the east wind to blow all night. And that east wind parted that water. You know what actually is taking place? God, all night long, through the pile of wind, was stacking water. You can't do it.
No,
you gotta have a vessel.
Right.
Something to hold the water.
Yes, sir.
The wind was made from nothing. Was performing, but needed nothing to perform the performance that God had sent it to do to divide the waters.
Right. Yeah.
And they just stacked up. On either side. Without any leakage. For the Bible said they went over on dry ground. You knew him, I suppose. Brother Billy Kelly. Somebody said to Billy, they didn't cross the Red Sea
It was the reed seed. And it was just about ankle deep. Low time. Billy said, well, it's a strange thing to be. They waded over in ankle deep water and Pharaoh's army was drowned.
In that ankle deep water. Hey, God didn't have to build a levee.
No.
Didn't have to call in the Army Corps of Engineers in order to make a channel through that Red Sea. He just stacked the water on either side. Some years ago, I said something like that in a Bible conference or Bible school. These little young'uns, you know, they pick up more than you think they do. Worries me. I get called into churches a lot of times nowadays, and I didn't know I was that mean. I reckon I'm so mean. And that poor preach, they cart all the young'uns out. I'm just mean enough sometimes I think about going with meaner. They probably would get more of what I'm saying than who's left in the auditorium.
You're right. Yes, sir.
This little boy ran up to me and he said, preacher, set that water back up there on each side of him and said, could they see those fish in there? I said, I suppose they could. I don't know. I thought that satisfied him. He went on his way. Directly here he come back. And that preacher said, if they could see them fishing, I said, could they reach in and get them? I said, well, now, friend, I don't know. I said, the Bible said the waters were congealed. I don't know. So he accepted my I don't know. I wish some young, older people would accept my I don't know.
But he called on that thing. He used it again
when he had that old preacher called Jonah.
Yeah.
I was hoping there'd be a lot of preachers here. God gave me a message the other day. I was going to preach to a bunch of preachers. Brother, maybe I was planning to come to your camp meeting, but I'd come up and I wasn't going to preach on it. Where's the Jonas?
Amen.
I know it took him a while. But he got around to preaching what God told him to preach. And it did produce repentance. Did bring revival. But let me get back to my point here. When old Jonah bought that ticket, got on board, the Bible said God sent a wind. He sent it. Now later on he said, and he sent a more vehement wind. He knows how to turn it up. Nothing like a good breeze on a hot summer day. But there's nothing so terrifying as a turbulent wind driven along with violent force. And God can do it.
Oh, yes.
Amen?
Yeah.
Oh, I could preach a whole lot right there. Let me say two or three things and I'm through. You know this wind that God made? It's just some things about it. You can't control it.
Right.
It's controlled by Him.
You're right. Yes, sir.
Somebody asked me last night, are you pastoring anywhere? I said, no. And I'm glad they didn't follow up with this question that most do. Why? Number one, it's because of my age. But number two, it's because of the age we're living in. Churches used to call preachers to preach to them.
Yes, okay. You're right.
Now they call preachers to preach for them. I probably could have been in a pretty strong church. But I answered wrong to a question.
And they said, would you come and preach for us? I said, no.
Amen.
I'll come and preach to you.
Uh-huh.
If I come under the auspice of preaching for you, you can pull the ropes. You can tell me what to do.
Uh-huh.
I'll have to preach to suit you if I preach for you. But if I preach to you,
uh-huh,
that's a different story.
Amen.
Of course, you can guess the rest of the story.
Uh-huh.
I'm not there.
Uh-huh.
You can't control the wind. Amen. You can't generate the wind. I know these apple growers will argue this point. They put these big winds turning things out there, flip a switch, and they go to turning the blades like this here. That's not creating wind. That's circulating air. There is a vast difference in circulated air and wind. I mean, you turn it on and off with circulated air. But the wind is not controlled by a switch. You can't generate the wind. By the way, it is a type of the Holy Ghost. You can't capture the wind. Next time it's blowing hard, get you a vessel, a gallon jug, or a bucket or something. Stand in it, it's blowing hard, it's about to turn you around. Ease that lid on there, screw it on right tight. Run back in the living room. Take that lid off. It won't even say it. You can't capture the wind. Blow through here a little bit last night. Wouldn't it have been good if we could have captured part of it and let it loose this morning? But he blows when he wills. Blows where he wills. Blows to the magnitude that he wields.
Yes, sir.
By his power.
Yes, sir.
God has a wind.
Yes, sir.
A wind always blows from somewhere to somewhere. I remember the year my wife and myself got married. One night we were sitting there after the supper we had enjoyed. And my wife was still in the house, and I walked out on the front porch. I said, come here. She come out there and she said, great day, what is that? Wind is blowing just right up that holler toward our house. Pardon me. And these two old fellas had a steel up that holler. And that wind was picking up that sour mash smell. And it's hitting directly in my front yard.
Oh.
I said, somebody's got a steel at the valley up there. Now, they accused me of turning it in, but I did not. But a couple of days later, they cut her down. I'm simply saying the wind blows from somewhere in a particular direction. I'm glad, thank God, when the wind of God begins to blow. It's a blowing from somewhere. And it's a blowing our way.
Amen.
You remember when God really moves in a service? Throw your mind out of gear and just think for a minute. You remember how that even the air began to take on another aroma? Huh? Don't look at me that way. I ain't that old. I know my as good as I know my name. And I'm preaching this morning to some people that has been where God moved.
You can call me a liar if you want to, but I've been where it looked like it got foggy. I've left the old home church when the fire of God upon me. And I felt like I'm leaving the ground or going out the door on the ground. Said I wasn't walking on ground. I was walking about knee high on clouds of glory. And in those services I'd begin to, I was picking up another smell. The wind of God blowing out of the home country. Amen. Blowing through that orchard over yonder on God's Arisco shore. Uh-huh. Where those 12 manner of fruit trees are in blossom.
Yeah.
And as the wind of the Holy Ghost blows through, it picks up that aroma.
Uh-huh.
It is no hard task for Him to blow from heaven to earth.
Right.
By the way, heavenly is far away as you think it is.
You're right.
It's close enough we're encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses.
You're right.
It's close enough that God instantly is touched with the feelings of our infirmities.
Amen.
They used to sing a song down home, I'm going up, way up, when I die, when I'm going up, I don't know how high I'm going, but I know I'm going. But this God I'm preaching about this morning has no difficulty with space, distances. It is no hamper to Him. Amen. Them Russian, what they call them, cosmonauts or chasmonauts or believe nots or whatever they were, come back and said we didn't see nothing of God out there. That's because God didn't open our eyes. They might have passed right through the orchard, know nothing about it. I read in the Bible where one fellow went out and looked and come back and said, we better just throw in the towel. Give up. There's a whole lot more out there than we are. They're going to surely defeat us. The old prophet prayed and said, go back and look again. He went back in, back out and come back in and said, don't worry about it. There's more of us than there are of them. God made him see him between the enemy. I believe God's got reserves ready to spring in these moments.
Amen.
At His command to help us. I'm too preaching too long.
Let me give you this. God made a wind to pass over the earth and it abated the waters.
Amen.
We're living in a flood-pronged age.
Flood of sin, flood of iniquity, flood of unbelief, all of it coming in upon us. As far as I can tell from the Scripture, nobody ever hit it plain last night. The only hope we got is that God make a wind to blow again. I heard just this morning on the national news that the vast majority now is in favor of homosexuality.
Yes,
we were way down about 20-something points below being those that were opposed to homosexuality. The opposition is gaining ground. Got me confused. I don't know hardly how to figure these things. Now, you preachers, ain't many of us here, but let me say this in passing. You might as well get ready. It's coming. Sooner or later, two of them's going to knock on your door and say, we want to get married. Will you perform our marriage ceremony? Of course, I don't have to think about it. The answer's already no.
But just in case I did, supposition here. When performing a marriage ceremony at the end of it, we always say, now, ladies and gentlemen, I pronounce to you Mr. and Mrs. so-and-so. Pronounce them man and wife. Well, who's the wife? Always say to the groom, and now you may kiss the bride. Who's going to kiss who?
That's right,
brother. I think we're so screwed up. We're as crazy as a June bug in December.
Well, we are in these days. That's right. Old Brother Harold Sackler preached many years ago, the line of demarcation is being drawn. I wonder what he'd say today if he is living with what we're facing. By the way, I don't marry them when it's a black and a white.
Amen.
Right. Together.
Yeah, amen. You're right.
I'll marry them when they come and they got already one or two already living.
Mm-hmm. Right. I'm lost something.
Right. Do it right.
There may be some cases, I don't know.
I go with that I don't know again.
That might.
Let me put it that way. Have some question about it. But I ain't got enough sense to know which one and which one.
Exactly right.
And in order to keep me and the church and God's name in the clear,
it's better I say no and be ostracized and have God on me than it is for me to say yes.
That's right.
And have the pat on the back. Amen. We need to win to God. Blowing again in our day. I've lived to see the pendulum swing to the far left. I hope I'll get to see it swing to the right again. Amen. When God moves in our midst.
Amen.
Like he wants it.
Amen.
Well, there wasn't much to that, but I thank you for listening.
Amen.
I'm glad God is in control. One of these days, thank God. Somebody said to me last night, and Chuck Hammond said, "Lord, I thought you was already on yonder shore." I said, "Well, I'm nearing it." The drunken Sunday night, getting out of the car. There's another church, and Drunken, I said to my wife, "I'll sure be glad I get my new body." Hey, I ain't completely crazy. I borderline on it. But isn't it funny how we operate? We get up here, you know, I'm drunk about, we're ready to go, wish we could go. Oh, what a blessing if we could go. Time to get out the door, we hunt the doctor.
Shoot.
Help us to live longer.
Hear that? Help us.
Amen.
Amen.